Happy July!
Happy July, everyone. What's up?
What's up?
Listening to Yo, Is This Racist?
This is the podcast where me, Tawny Newsome...
My name is Andrew T.
We both answer your racism questions mm-hmm. with the help of a special guest, but first we talk about some current events.
God, what a fucking week.
And by current events, we just mean, like, what black person was harassed in what airport this week, or whatever the fuck depressing news there is.
And Asian people really took a hit this week.
Yeah.
I guess they took the hit already, and it was, you know what? It was good that the Asian person took a hit. Fuck Andy No, first of all.
We starting there?
Can I?
Yeah, of course.
Please.
Yeah. Normally, I mean, I'm so lazy. I just start in the earliest thing in the text thread. But sometimes I find when we load up the text thread early, like when we start sending shit on Wednesday of last week, we're like really underestimating the world's ability to shock us on Sunday, Monday.
We had too much shit this week.
Yeah. Okay, so start with...
I have 6 tabs, and that actually doesn't include Andy. Fucking
damn.
Racist, white supremacist, asshole Asian person. Andy, no. I guess an editor, a writer of Quillette, which is some... right-wing garbage that is new to me, new-ish. It had been on my insanely long manual block list. So I was like, oh, I fucking
17,000 people
already
in companies.
I already blocked this asshole.
What's it called?
Quillette.
Very easy to remember and catchy.
I think it's British or some shit like that. There's a lot of TERFs on the board.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that kind of like racist. You know, it's that like of that like Jordan Peterson, like we're just asking questions. This is intellectual honesty type of racism. You know, they posted an article that Andy No wrote basically about phrenology. About how different races have different bumps in their heads that tell how smart they are.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a racist fuckhead among the worst Asian people in the world.
All the bumps in my head come from braiders who were too aggressive.
I mean, fuck that guy. He got punched at a Proud Boys rally in Portland. Come see our show, Portland.
Come see our show, Portland, in September.
Yeah, look, he got punched. He got milkshakes thrown on him. Of course, the fucking racist cops in Portland were, like, accusing Antifa of, like, putting cement in the milkshakes and providing no evidence of that. The cement thing was, like, so clearly a fucking right-wing, like, lie.
Well, because some people were just straight up drinking milkshakes. So it's like, how were you giving people like a wink, like an espionage wink to be like, don't drink that one?
Yeah.
No, they were just fucking milkshakes.
Yeah. And so obviously, like, it's also like, I mean, I saw someone on Twitter point out that like these like tough Republican conservative, like Proud Boy assholes, like among their many like masculinity lies have like clearly never worked with concrete before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they can't even live, you know, and they're also the people that are like, we have guns, we're going to kill you. And then are like, someone poured a milkshake on me. You know, Andy probably got punched or whatever. But of course they were like saying, another world's worst Asian, Miles Chong or whatever the fuck his name is. Was like, Andy has a brain hemorrhage, bleeding in the brain.
I'm sorry. Did you see it? Did you see the punch in question?
I saw the Twitter video.
I saw it too. And like, not to downplay physical violence, which I'm a fan of a milkshake throw. I'm not as much of a fan of drawing blood. But I can't help but think if there was no Twitter, what I saw in that video would not be newsworthy.
Yeah.
It was just a quick scrabble. It was a petty shot, but whatever. Like,
it's not newsworthy. I mean, look, it's also like fucking idiot white people like Jake Tapper are out there being like, oh, this is like an assault on a journalism. You can't hit someone just for what they believe. Like, Andy No is a fucking white supremacist who advocates for violence. He went on a long thing, actually, about those two women who were attacked in London for being gay, about how he thought it was a hoax, even though there was video of that. Mm-hmm. Like, his words advocate violence. He contributes to violence. You can quibble about whether physical violence against him is unwarranted. What I put on Twitter is like, look, we should feel the same way that we feel about Richard Spencer getting punched. Mm-hmm. Or I said we should feel 10% more bad than when we did when Richard Spencer got punched. And then I followed up with, that means I only feel 90% great about this.
It was less of an impactful punch than the R. Spence.
I mean, he's like racist garbage. He's the worst. And then I also joked that I guess Asian Andrews are canceled because Andrew Yang keeps on going out there talking about right wing.
$1,000.
Inability to not parrot right wing fucking talking points really bums me the fuck out. But it really comports with my existing vision of Asian people. And I know that's a problem.
What is his end game here? What is this whole give everybody $1,000 a month? So everyone gets a whopping $12,000 a year. What is this? What's his end game?
I think he's one of those tech libertarian people that mm-hmm. thinks like, oh, this is like I'm smarter than everyone else. But he also then is like, well, up there being like identity politics is holding us back and like talking to Joe Rogan and shit. So it's like, sure, like whatever. He has some fucking angle that's unconventional. Mm-hmm. But his embrace of the fucking worst of the right wing, not the worst, the fourth worst of right wing bullshit talking points mm-hmm. is gross. Anyway, nice. Asian Andrews, all of them canceled.
Does part of you wish you were canceled so you could have 3 months off? Because, you know, after 3 months as a man, you get to come back and to your full salary and esteem and respect.
I know.
Do you just want to be canceled just for a vacay?
Wait, I can just not do this?
Yeah. Get canceled. Oh. Have everyone cancel you. You know, tweet something mean at Nicki Minaj. You'll get canceled. They'll dig something up on you. They'll invent something.
I know.
The fucking Nicki Minaj stans are I'm afraid of them. Nicki Minaj has weaponized her fans like some foreign governments have. They're hackers.
I like it.
Well, yeah, just get canceled. Then you can take a break.
I don't know. Anyway, fuck that guy. You know what? Sorry. And I should say I've been kind of not organizing this well in my mind, but definitely fuck, you know, actually, however you stand on physical violence, anyone with the fucking balls to try to claim that Antifa are just as bad as the Proud Boys or drawing any kind of equivalency to these people and neo-Nazis is a racist. It is objectively not even close to true. Even if that, I said this on Twitter too, it's like, even if you accept the right-wing version of this story, they punched him. They threw concrete at him. We're talking about drawing an equivalency to people who ran over, murdered a woman with a car, have set mosques on fire, opened fire at a synagogue, murdering people, opened fire at a black church, burning black churches down. You are fucking racist if you think these are the equivalent things.
Until Antifa lights a tractor supply company on fire.
Yeah. It's great. You know who's done more damage to these white people? The fucking OxyContin people. Mm. You know what I mean? There's no number of racists we could kill.
We're advocating that.
No, but you know what I mean? But I'm saying, right? It would require a massive murder wave to get the left wing equivalent to the right wing.
Again, you sound like you're making some sort of plan or statement.
I can't. I'm not.
I just want to make clear as not. Your legal counsel.
Thank you. Thank you. My entertainment lawyer doesn't. No. But what I'm saying is that it's a false equivalency. Yes. That is fucking revolting. And you have to be a racist idiot, racist or an idiot, but probably both, to believe that there's anywhere remotely close to true. And I am literally talking about people like Jake Tapper, any Democrat who fucking apologizes, just fucking do not let this equivalency get drawn. That is all.
Boom.
I'm sorry.
Why are you sorry?
I just had a lot to say about... Wait, can I do another terrible Asian person?
Let it fly.
The goddamn Dalai Lama.
Oh, God. This one hurt. This one hurt.
How much of a connection did you have to this fuckface?
I mean...
His Excellency, the fuckface. His Royal Holy fuckface.
I've got to see him speak. I generally just thought of him as this is a dude who wants peace. He ran from oppression his whole life and just wants peace.
Yeah.
And I didn't really give him a lot of other thoughts other than that. Cool, a dude who's about peace.
Yeah.
And now it's Oh, God. So the Dalai Lama was interviewed, and this was actually followed up on previous comments that he had made. So he was interviewed by the BBC's Regini Vaidyanathan, and she was trying to follow up on previous statements he'd made about if there was a woman to be the next Dalai Lama, she would need to be attractive or men would not want to look at her face, or no one would want to look at her face or listen to what she had to say. Mm-hmm. So this journalist gave the Dalai Lama an opportunity to maybe clarify, like you do with someone who's been known his whole life for peace and, you know, just, I don't know. We've never heard anything bad about this dude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think in the same interview, he came out with some shit about like how Muslim people should stay in their own countries or something. So he had a double whammy here.
Yeah.
And she was like very persistent saying like, don't you see how women would find this offensive? And he was just like, nah.
Yeah.
I think it's sound logic. She got to be hot.
Fuck this
guy. She got to be a hot ass Dalai Lama.
How dare like, he with his fucking ugly ass face.
Just
fuck you. You. Also, I also saw him when I was a kid, and I straight up fell asleep. That motherfucker is boring as hell.
Whatever. I saw him when I was like 25. I loved it.
Fucking sucks.
Well, when I saw him, I was 25, and Sean Penn opened for him as like a surprise. And I was like, whoa, Sean Penn's here. At the time, we didn't know.
I was going to say, they probably believed about the same things about how hot a Dalai Lama needs to be.
Maybe they have a lot in common. I mean, this is just like a bummer because this is someone you don't think about. You stopped thinking about him, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just a little shocking. I'm just like, of course. I mean, he's basically lived in a fucking tower his whole life.
Yeah.
He's not going to have the most progressive.
He's a man at all.
A great tweet. Oh, my God. I'm forgetting who said it. Sorry, my brain is fried. Guys, we're recording at a weird hour, so I'm sorry. Please link this tweet if you know who it was, but I'm sure it was a wonderful comedy writer. I know it was a woman.
Brain fry time.
She just wrote, I guess it is all men.
I mean, it is
pretty
like...
pretty solid.
It is... Yeah, you can't escape it. Everyone is fucking trash. Anyway, Dalai Lama's canceled.
Oh, maybe he just did it for the rest. He's so tired.
Oh, God. And that's just the Asian
Dalai
shit.
Dalai Lama's canceled. What an absurd time this is. What are we talking about? This show was featured in a...
No, we're not. All right, people have already said it. For some reason, we're in this compilation of, like, I assume, like, Russian car crashes.
Like on YouTube where you just see people's dashboard cams.
Yeah, and, like, at some point you hear us.
But it's so insane. Someone sent it to us, but there's no car crash in that video. Because I was like, oh, no. What if our takes were so spicy? Somebody crashed their car.
We killed someone.
Nobody even crashes. It's just a clip of someone listening to our show. And then it goes to another donut or whatever.
I guess that's good. Viral fame. You get viral fame if you're listening to our show. Guaranteed.
Ooh, boy.
Really fucking... Of the revolting things that happened this week, in Birmingham, a woman who was shot in the stomach, a pregnant woman who was shot in the stomach during a fight, is the victim is being indicted for manslaughter. The person who was shot was being indicted for manslaughter because she lost the pregnancy after being shot.
Yep.
She's black. I guess that... probably was pretty obvious given if anyone has a basic grasp of history.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to say other than this is like this confluence of all the disgusting shit, not all, a lot of the disgusting shit that our country perpetuates.
It's very scary because especially how there is a lot of there can be disagreement about neonatal health and what people have to do to, you know, what people who are pregnant are supposed to do to keep a healthy pregnancy. And there are a lot of different methods and people do different things, whether you're supposed to drink coffee, whether you can have one glass of wine a day. So starting this slippery slope of now we can, you know, punish you, we can treat it as a criminal act if a person loses a pregnancy. We can start to blame their habits and behaviors. We can start to say like, oh, well, she didn't take care of herself or, yeah. Oh, she shouldn't have ran that marathon or, which is insane because everyone's doctor is giving them different advice based on their bodies. And that's what's really getting scary to me, is that someone can be, a victim like this can be indicted for something like this.
I mean, all of it. Like, there is no world where, I'm sorry, killing a fetus is not manslaughter. It's not a person.
It's not a person. And I take issue with the article, too, because it kept saying baby and mother a lot. And I was like, this language is also very insidious.
It's fucking gross. I mean, it is like, except for the fact that Handmaid's Tale, the show, has a remarkable blind spot about race. I mean, I have my problems with
that. What do you mean? The whole thing teaches white women what slavery was like.
No, well, yeah, but the idea that in this, like, fascist theocracy there would be powerful black people perpetuating against women is lunacy.
But then, okay, counterpoint. I don't care about this show, but counterpoint, I kind of like that, because at least, like, this is a fake dystopian future. This is my argument against Game of Thrones, where I'm like, you made all this shit up and you can't have any, like, Latinx people. Like, you can dream up dragons, but you can't just have, like, an Indian man.
I know. So, I see what you're saying. I just feel like this is like, that show is like pure uncut white feminism. Let's see. I mean, the border shit kind of all comes together. Obviously, it's fucking...
That's got to be a type of cocaine now, right? White feminism.
Like, if we were on season, it would be like season 28 of The Wire at this point.
Yeah.
The drug would be like, white feminism.
Yeah.
Got that white feminism right here.
White feminism. Yo, yo. Taking a blind spot. Yo, amplify yourself. We could write
The Wire. Boy, I hope you guys listen to The Wire or watch The Wire.
Okay, now the dark shit.
I mean, it's all been dark shit. There's a Border Patrol agent Facebook group where, surprise, surprise, not all cops except for, yes, surprisingly, all cops.
Mm.
If you're a good cop, fucking why didn't you tell people about this bullshit? The good stuff is... Not good stuff, but I mean, it's just racist and, you know, disgusting throughout.
Yeah, they have, xenophobic and misogynist posts that joke about migrant deaths. They post sexist memes about AOC. I mean, just really disgusting stuff. One user posted that tragic picture of the father and daughter who drowned and questioned its authenticity. Just going into a lot of terrible details I won't recount here. Yeah. It's very bad. And I mean, just so many racist things, saying they wanted to throw a burrito at AOC, like super original, great comedy writing, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a Facebook group that is meant to, what they say their mission is funny, serious, and work-related stuff. We are family, first and foremost. Remember, you're never alone in this family. Like, have a chat or a discussion. Like, this is meant to be a workplace adjacent.
Yeah. It's the water cooler. I mean, there's the thing. That is the water cooler if you work for the Border Patrol, because you are and work with a bunch of fucking racist scum.
And they have the lowest numbers for woman recruitment to work for Border Patrol out of all law enforcement agencies.
Yeah.
Because of the culture there. It's called I'm 1015. You guys can look it up if you want to hate everything.
It's bad. These people are have power of life and death over lots of people. It's fucking revolting.
Yeah, I mean, it does point to, in the article, it talks about how this points to desensitization to the point of them being dangerous, which are things that, again, we're talking to you guys, we all already know this, but just to really spell it out, it's not just gallows humor with among people who have, like, a dark, tough job. It is the fact that they see these people as subhuman, so they are, the way that they are casually talking about them, you know that that is how they are treating them.
Yeah.
So you can just see where it leads. I mean.
Yeah.
We don't, yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Andrew, sometimes this show, I'm just like, I know we're just talking to people who are just like vehemently nodding in their car. Like, they already know what I'm saying, and I'm probably saying it too simplistic because they are all literal scientists. I feel like all of our listeners are actual scientists or PhDs or something.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, well, just take this, though, to your dumb friend's boyfriend.
You know what it is take this to the fucking problematic white people in your families. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say to many people in our audience and fucking, you know, do something about it, please. You know, I actually saw another thing going back to the Antifa thing is that like one thing that people like, and I don't fully support this. I do think the Antifa people sometimes do not have as much a physical stake in some of the violence as they maybe should. I don't know. Sometimes they do things that it's like easy for you to say white boy. Mm-hmm. But they also, as a counterpoint to my knee-jerk reaction to that, is that they are like they do show a way that white people can put their bodies on the line. Mm-hmm. And again, you can quibble with lots of things about how they do it, but I don't know.
Yeah. If you are looking for something to do, I just was...
Yeah, something positive that doesn't require a mask.
No, it's... I mean, you can wear a mask if you want. I mean, you're just going to donate to a thing or it's go to a website.
Hot. It's so hot.
It's pretty
can you
warm.
Imagine wearing a goddamn mask right now?
Well, that's why a lot of this is in Portland in the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. The temperature's a little more manageable, oh, you boy. Know? Just get a nice, let's have a nice protest in Maine. Just a nice cool breeze. I did Love It or Leave It this past week. I love those guys over there. Love It and Travis and everybody are so nice to have us on a lot. And there was this wonderful activist named Monica Ramirez on with me. And if you guys haven't heard the episode, she reads excerpts from children that are being held in the detention centers. And it's really heartbreaking, but she also gives a nice call to action at the end. And the website that she directs people to is called closethecampsnow.org. And there's great information there about what you can do to help. So check that out. Follow her on Twitter, Monica Ramirez, closethecampsnow.org.
I think we just have to make that our news. That's a good end to the
trying to end with something so
some positivity.
So that we don't cause actual car crashes it fucking frustrated inactivity.
It was fun to talk to Poonam Patel.
Oh yes, Poonam Patel, my little sweetie. Does she want to be called that? She's my friend.
Well, you'll find out the hard way.
Yes, I will. She's great. Take a listen. Yeah, buckle up, strap in.
I did wear my sports bra.
This is a good
place.
I knew
I was going to go for a ride today.
Today, you're an athlete.
Yeah, today. Only today.
This is what we're doing. Right now, this is our gym.
That's a good place as any to start.
oh, boy.
With our friend, actress, comedian. You know her from Netflix's Special. Such a great show. It's our friend Poonam Patel.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for strapping in the girls in that sports bra.
Thank you so
and
much.
Getting on this show.
I wanted to be like comfortable, but also stay active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like wearing sports attire just when I'm idle because it reminds me of what I could be.
Yeah. Well, half the battle is getting the bra on.
True.
So. Mm-hmm. And LA is the perfect place for wearing that because everyone's always in sportswear.
Everyone is constantly on their way to or from some type of activity.
Yeah.
Or at least they look that way.
Yes.
We're playing sports, y'all.
Yeah. What kind of sports are you playing?
Mostly sitting on the exercise bike while I play poker online.
That is wild to me. One, that you use an exercise bike, because I don't know anyone under 75 who uses an exercise bike.
Oh, yesterday at the gym, there was a fucking old white dude. At first, I thought he was barefoot on the exercise bike, which on the recumbent bike.
No.
But it turned out he was just wearing like the flimsiest like flip-flops.
Ugh.
It was so nasty. It was the nastiest shit.
Flip-flops are disgusting. And
yeah.
That's coming from someone who used to wear them all the time because I grew up in Florida.
Sure.
But now anytime I see, especially on a plane, it's like, do not trust, do not resuscitate.
Yeah. If I see jean shorts and flip-flops on a woman on a plane, I'm like, go to jail. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, you don't like being comfortable.
Nope. You want to be cold and just eventually ashy. You're going to get ashy.
I'm like covered head to toe on a plane for germs and for warmth.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. I'm going full beekeeper on a plane.
Yeah, I got told off on a plane recently.
Talk about it.
What?
What happened? What do you mean told off?
I like have anxiety just thinking about it because I hate confrontation so much. And I was coming back from Mexico City and I had a middle seat. And this is just a lesson. Just pay the $20 and pick your seat if it means that much to you. Like, just do it. But I was like, oh, it'll be fine. But I was like not feeling well, whatever. And so I went up to the booth. First of all, they make you run around that entire damn airport before you can find your gate. Fine. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, is there like an aisle seat in the front? And the guy was so sweet. He was like this young guy. And he's like, yeah, you can take 6C. I was like, oh, do you need to like reprint my boarding pass? He's like, no, Joe, take 6C, take 6C. And I was like, but there's no like official documentation. Yeah.
Telling
you know, like,
me that I'm allowed.
Literally, I need it like in writing all the time. I don't know what it is, but like, I don't believe it unless it's in writing.
Yeah.
And he's like, just, you'll be fine. So I was like, okay, I have like all this anxiety. So I like get to 6C, I sanitize it, I have my cookie, I have my water, I'm like getting settled in, like getting to know my neighbors. All of a sudden this like super old lady comes and she's like looking at my seat and I was like, oh my God, I stole it from an old lady. The flight attendant comes and she's like, can I see your boarding pass? I was like, well, see, actually what had happened was, and she didn't even let me finish. She's like, let me see your boarding pass. And I was like, well, so it says 15E, but the guy there said I could do 6C. She's like, I need you to go to your seat, please. I need you to go to your seat, please. As if I was like, con somebody.
Yeah.
And I felt this need to like explain my character.
Yeah.
When really it's like, just go to your seat and shut up. No one cares. But I would be like, I would never have, I like was making the seat. I was like, I would never have done this if I had not been told. Someone told me, I asked him 10 times for this exact reason. Yeah. And all they kept saying is, please go your seat. Please take your seat. Please take your assigned seat.
That is really upsetting.
What?
I would have been so
upset
too.
What's up with that dude?
I know.
How are you going to be an employee of It's All Good Airlines and just like
let it go
like that? What?
Like, he made me feel like I was like I needed to chill out. Like I was being like this stressful, anxiety ridden lady.
Yeah. Well, because I bet it happens all the time with that flight crew.
I bet.
Jack, homeboy, whomever, up at the front, gets willy-nilly with people's seats, and they just deal with the collateral. They don't know where it came from. They're just
like
scammers.
But you know what's amazing
is
he knows, because he's on the other side of the ticket exchange, he knows that when he lies to you, you do not have a way to go back out and confront him.
No.
Nope. That's why he didn't repeat it.
Right now?
Or reprint it. He didn't reprint it so he wouldn't get in trouble.
No.
He don't care.
And I can't get mad at people that work on airplanes or at airports, because we all know it's... The worst people are at airports and on airplanes.
That's
so
true.
I know they have. So I have a lot of compassion for them. But I wanted to be like, I'm one of the good ones. I follow the rules. I am such a rule follower.
I didn't do this.
I know.
This isn't me. Oh, it is you.
So
Poonam.
Upsetting.
That's the thing. It is you now.
It's you now. And it's on record now that you're a seat stealer and you're a liar and you're a grifter.
I got into my middle seat and then I saw an empty row and I was like, can I sit there? And the girl was like, claro. Like, oh, of course. I was like, now you're going to be all casual. So I did end up in an aisle seat.
Ooh.
I'm realizing I like being mad at people so much that I like being in the middle seat and being mad when people take the armrest. By the way, if you're in the window or the aisle, the middle armrest is for the middle person.
Both armrests.
Both of them. Oh, my God.
That's the one benefit of middle.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's one thing that makes me feel like a benevolent, charitable human being when I am sitting in the aisle and I see that the window person has taken the middle person's armrest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the least I can do is keep my armrest.
I'm going to demonstrate this. So my move, especially for some, it's always white dudes, but
yeah.
I'll be in the middle and their elbows will go over the armrest into my space.
Uh-huh.
So here's the move for anyone in that situation.
Okay, you do it. I'll describe it.
So you take... Well, okay.
Or you describe it.
You take your laptop or whatever sharp thing you have and run it against the armrest.
So he's doing it like credit card style.
Like clip their elbow, basically.
Like he's sliding it in towards their elbow.
Yeah.
Building a barrier on both sides.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah.
I've seen people travel with those plastic things that go over the armrest and block.
A car seat for an adult.
Kind of, yeah. But they're like little blockers like you put like on a blinders on a horse.
That sounds,
but it's to keep people's elbows off here.
Really?
That is Captain Petty, to travel with accoutrement.
I know.
To keep people out of your space.
My level of petty.
I guess I'm also like, you spent $20 on those plastic things. Spend the $20 to pick your seat.
Yeah.
No, you buy the plastic thing once, you can get revenge for life.
That's right. Teach a man to fish petty.
Some people are really petty, though. The last flight I took, I just always ask because, like, there's no harm in asking. And most of the time, they'll just give it to you. So they gave me an exit row for free.
Ooh.
And then I was in it. And there was this, like, old man that saw an empty seat. And he's like, well, can I sit there? And the flight attendant was like, well, no, it wouldn't be fair to the people who pay. And I just like got really silent. And then this like middle-aged white woman was like, yeah, we paid.
Oof.
And I was like, it's not going to charge you. That's like the same. That's like that student debt forgiveness thing. Those people that are like, well, we paid. I'm like, so you want other people to suffer too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't understand that.
It's fucking wild.
That's wild to like direct any kind of ire at you. Like, it's if the flight attendant's breaking the rules, be mad at her maybe if you're going to be mad at anything.
Yeah.
Don't be mad at anyone. Paid.
Probably don't be mad at anyone. But, you know, sometimes those old white ladies on planes, they want somewhere to direct their anger, much like you, Andrew.
Again, I'm one of the good ones. All right, let's do a voicemail.
Hi, Andrew, Tani, and guests. I'm a half Vietnamese, half white gay man working for the Green Goddess of Caffeine and Sugar. I have a new coworker who I've seen get a little snippy when she encounters a language barrier. Nothing big enough that warrants me stepping in to say cool it, but a noticeable microaggression. She called her dad for a ride home from the store phone once and said he won't recognize the number. I should pretend to be one of those Chinese telemarketers.
Well.
Like, ching chong, ching chong.
Well.
To which I replied, that's terrible, because it was awkward. She also was rapping along to the song, as one does, and did not change the lyric to neighbor, as one should.
Well,
and my half Asian, half black coworker ran to tell me about that because I told her about the other thing. And now we aren't sure what to do since ideally we both should have addressed it in the moment. So, is this racist? And how do you politely educate someone like her? Anyway, thanks so much. Love the show. Have a great day.
Oh, this one escalated.
Oof.
It started, I like the journey it went on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Microaggression.
Yeah. It started with like, oh, she's not great with people who have a language barrier. And then it just got worse and worse. I was like, wow, this is a lesson in heightening.
I like what Starbucks is playing the non-radio edit version of songs.
Truly.
Feeling that.
You know what it made me think? That she's adding them back in.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
The most racist DJ out there.
I'm
yeah.
so serious. Whenever I hear people, what did I just hear? I was in a Target and they had a version of a song that didn't say bitch and it just said like friend or girl or whatever. You know, synonyms for bitch, friend. And I, like, as I was kind of humming along, I only knew the regular version. And I kind of went like, oh, they changed it. So I bet she was just singing the version she knows and keeps close to her heart with the full tilt N-word in there. Well, this person's terrible.
I would maybe direct us to concentrate possibly on the final part of his question where he said, how do I politely deal with this?
Ah.
Do you have to politely deal
with it? I was
just
about to say, I hate that we have to be polite in explaining why someone else is wrong. And I guess there's a balance because sometimes I'm like, well, fuck that. I'm allowed to be angry too when something actually terrible has happened.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes for effectiveness, I do have to like calm myself down and maybe not be polite, but like be stern and clear in it. Because if I just let myself go off on someone, it's just really not effective for anybody.
Yeah. Like sometimes like I find myself doing that too, where I'm like, OK, they can't get hung up on the fact that I'm acting out of control or hysterical or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
I have to be calm and mad.
And I hate that sometimes when you're calling out someone's racism, and this has happened to me before, somehow it ends up with me comforting them that they're not racist.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it ends up with me being like, well, I know you're not racist, but it could come off as racist.
Right.
And I'm like, no,
you're racist.
You are racist, but it doesn't mean you have a white hood over your head.
Yeah.
You can be racist and still be my friend.
Yeah.
As long as you recognize it, you know, like.
Yeah.
Very much so. In fact, Poonam prefers racist. So hit her up.
Collected them like Pokemon. No, I know what you mean where it's like, no, you are capable of this is what you're saying. Like, just because you're my friend doesn't mean that you're not capable of this racism.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be, which is why we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
That's,
that very much feels like the sad part of this question, which is like, we all have to give a fuck about this racist feelings a lot.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're making a scene or whatever. I guess... Is this wrong what I'm about to say?
Let's see.
Let me know. Why don't you just tell all the employees at this store, just talk shit? Hey.
I liked when he said, like, my other coworker comes running up. So you guys are already, like, you know.
Yeah, tallying it.
Yeah, you are. And you're, like, kind of bonding over the fact that you're, like, this person's doing this fucked up shit.
You're collecting evidence to, Because when it's an isolated incident, like, I know sometimes we're taught, like, no, you're reading too much into it. Oh, maybe it's not. Sometimes we do have to collect evidence to make a stronger argument, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because people will ask for evidence.
Oh,
they'll
yeah.
be like, well, when else did they or when did they?
Because there's no way we could be correct.
No.
Just keep a little notebook or like a notepad file on your phone and just every time, just to write down every time she says the N-word.
Do they have an HR?
I mean, it's Starbucks.
Yeah.
They had a whole, presumably. They closed the store for a day.
Document it. That's what HR's for.
They closed the whole store for a day to deal with exactly issues like this.
And all it took was one day.
Uh-huh.
They did fix it, though, so good for them.
They fixed it. That girl got hired the day after, though.
Yeah.
She got hired the day they reopened, and she's like, nigga.
Well, they tried.
I don't know what to tell this kid other than, sorry, I don't mean to call you a kid. You could be grown as hell.
There's racists all the time. I think just narc on them.
Narc to like a general manager type thing?
I think that the probably very reasonable fear is the general manager isn't going to do shit.
Right.
Yeah.
That feels like what I would be worried about.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish there was just like a designated white ally in every space.
Well, like an actor's equity deputy.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a play.
That you could just go to because sometimes they do have more effect than me saying something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So if you have one of those, maybe he has a white coworker.
A union rep from the non-racists.
Uh-huh. From, and a non-person of color.
A white rep.
A white rep for the...
Wow.
Oof, this is dark times.
We created a bad job.
Yeah.
That should not exist.
No, it shouldn't exist. Listen to your brown employees.
Yes.
Oh, God.
I like, though, that I like that the other... I already said this, but that the other employees are, like, all getting together and talking about this.
Because
it's like, you need to at least make people aware. Where, like, don't invite her to your poker night. This person is not your friend.
I'm fully just suggesting bullying here, but I think it's okay to bully racists. Just fucking turn everyone in the store against her.
Oh, Andrew, this is some subterfuge.
I guess if everyone's calling it out,
eventually.
Maybe she'll eventually at
or
least.
Just laugh at her behind her back.
Yeah.
Why am I being so fucked up and mean?
I don't know, man.
Something's wrong.
You're tired. You said that coffee didn't hit
tired?
You, right? I don't know.
I
you crashed.
Be tired.
So now you got cranky and mean.
And y'all thought I was cranky and mean. This is worse. All right. Let's do the second voicemail.
Yo, Andrew, Tawny, and guest. So I guess Tiger Woods just won his first championship in a while. And I still remember being sort of baffled about the scandal that like knocked him out because it was basically he cheated on his wife, which is, you know, a bad thing to do in a personal relationship, but not exactly disqualifying in sports. It kind of seems like I'm in my mid-30s, and the only sport that I've ever actually in my lifetime seen the color barrier broken was golf. And everybody's kind of seemed to pile in on Tiger Woods in a way that wouldn't happen to a white golfer or even, like I said, a black athlete in like baseball or football or something where people have gotten used to them actually existing in that sport. But anyway, that was obviously, you know, tough for his life and everything. And now that he's won, everybody, including all the people who lost their goddamn minds at the black golfer doing something that probably all the white golfers are doing, are now lining up to talk about how he's triumphed over like adversity and troubles and the haters and the doubters, when those very same people were the haters and the doubters and the adversity was him fucking around on his wife. So I don't really know where I'm going with this, except to say that I have a very good sense that golf reporters, golf players, and just anybody attached to golf, fans included, are pretty fucking racist, but maybe what's your take on that? Have a good one. Later.
Have a good one.
We should add, since this question was called in, Tiger Woods did get some kind of like medal from Donald Trump.
Ooh. Like,
and he accepted it?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
I think he plays golf with Donald Trump.
Really?
Tiger Woods is the worst, but people criticizing him could also be the worst.
Yeah. Both things could be true.
He really is the fucking worst.
I, like, barely remember this Tiger Woods scandal. Like, I remember it was a lot of women. I remember they all were blonde white women,
yes.
Or a majority of them were. So the optics on it were that. It was a black man just working his way through a bunch of white blonde women who were not his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that adds into why people were so mad at him.
Yeah.
Because you better believe if he'd been fucking a bunch of black women, there would be way less outcry.
No, but don't take our women.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
Every single person in golf is the worst. Is that fair to say?
Maybe. What's Phil Mickelson up to? Is he all right? It's the only golf name I know.
There was one Indian guy, but he's probably conservative. So.
What'd he do?
I don't know. I just remember seeing an Indian name and I was like, are you safe here? Okay.
Are you safe here?
Golfers, I think. I mean, look, there's still like white only country clubs. So.
True.
Oh, yeah. My hometown had one. Johns Island.
Had? Until when?
I think pretty recently. And I mean, I'm sure it's like legally they can't keep black people out now, but I'd love to actually go there and see how many black people are in Johns Island.
Yeah. John's Island. I mean, it sounds like
we're
not allowed there.
That is fucking wild.
Do your parents get excited about things like, oh, there's an Indian guy who's a golfer? And like, does your family get really like, will they get behind a sport when they discover a person of their own is involved in it?
They'll get behind like a show. Mm. I think with sports, it's like cricket's so big in India, but they're like, okay, they see those kinds of Indian athletes. I think we watched a documentary about a really tall Indian basketball player, but they were like, okay, we'll support this guy.
That's really
but
true.
Yeah, they don't really get into golf, but like they will. It's like two ways. They'll really get into Indians they see in media and they're like, look, they're letting us in. Wow. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes when I'm like shopping with my mom and she sees like an Indian print, she's like, I bet this is made in India. She texts, like sees a tag and she's like, we're not buying that.
Wait, an Indian like fabric?
Yeah, like because she sees like traditionally Indian prints and stuff like that. And sometimes it's exciting for her. And then other times when she sees it like overpriced in a store and she knows in India it's like being made for 2 cents.
Yes.
She'll look at the tag and she'll be like, we're not buying that. And I'm like,
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. It's probably a double edged sword to be like celebrating things that you see.
Yes, but not celebrating like the exploitation of labor.
I mean, that's pretty good.
I mean,
we all own stuff that's been made in India, though.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, every time I get my hair braided,
Every time I put hair in, it's some long lost cousin's hair.
I know. I'm always just like, whose hair was this? I hope you had a good life. I hope this
she
is fine.
Did. Indian,
and
listen,
she still does. She's alive still.
Indian women have so much hair. I am the one Indian person who doesn't have Indian hair. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But even like
on the show.
Yeah.
We've talked about it. This is your first appearance, but we've talked about it a bunch.
Even old Indian women in India, just like thick, luxurious gray hair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they're happy to share.
I don't know.
Maybe not the ones who are sacrificing at a temple, but.
Yeah, maybe not. It's a dark industry, the hair business. So Tiger Woods is bad, but other people are also bad. Is that our?
I would say criticize Tiger Woods for the things he deserves to be criticized for.
Yeah. Well, critically, the people that hate on Tiger, especially the young version, for like being disrespectful or whatever. Because it was also like, it was like he wore a red shirt.
Get out of here.
Shit
Come
like
on.
That. Or like was sponsored by Nike. People were mad about that.
Come
you know,
on.
All that coded language. However, Tiger himself embracing people like Donald Trump. And
canceled.
So does
yeah.
he? Does,
I mean, how canceled can a golfer really be? I mean,
canceling a golfer. Does that have any impact on anything?
Yeah.
Is he even on Twitter? Is Tiger Woods on Twitter? I dare anyone to send me one funny tweet Tiger Woods has ever written.
The picture of him and Donald Trump is fucking depressing.
That is sad. But I like what this guy said about it, like breaking the color barrier. You know, I know that feeling to be. I remember when this is very recent history, but when Scandal came out and it was like the first black woman helmed primetime show since the 70s. And I just remember being like, oh, my God, like this is it wasn't a. Barrier, I guess it, I don't know. It was technically a,
that's a barrier.
It and a it barrier didn't have to do just about her being a black woman.
Right.
She got to just exist as a fully fledged character.
Just wear white suits and solve shit.
Yeah.
Drink so much wine.
Yeah.
She basically did that thing where you like pour an entire bottle of wine into a glass.
Yes. Those big like novelty wine glasses.
Like goblet.
Yeah. That you buy like your aunt at Christmas with like a towel that says like quit whining or whatever.
It's wine o'clock somewhere.
Yep. I want one of those goblets is what I'm saying.
But then you just
Get at us.
Free merch.
Sharper Image, get at us.
Yeah,
does that still exist?
Probably.
Sky Mall.
Hey, we were just talking about planes. Poonam, you ever see a Sky Mall recently? They got some good shit in there?
I feel like they're donezo.
Yeah, I feel like the last time I looked at a Sky Mall, there was a tongue scraper in there. And I was like, and it was like $35. And you can get them for like 2 rupees in India.
See,
like
this the is metal your mother ones. Coming out right now.
Yeah, it is. And I was like, and it was like a plastic weird one. And we use like the metal ones. I just used mine before I came here.
Mm-hmm. We could tell.
Thank you so much.
That is a freshly scraped tongue.
Thank you.
We love it. All right.
Final
voicemail.
Hi, Tani, Andrew, and guests. I have a 13-year-old daughter. She's mixed Japanese, Chinese, and a sprinkling of white. She has a best friend, Kay, who's mixed white and black. Kay loves Asian culture, and it's fun to take her to Chinese and Japanese restaurants because she's excited. She loves the food, and I love her enthusiasm. My daughter and Kay have decided to have a quote-unquote Asian day once a month where they'll do Asian things, eat Asian foods, and Kay gets to be Asian for a day. It comes from a place of innocence, but that's racist? I don't know, and I don't know if I should say anything to the girls. What are your thoughts, guys? Thanks.
I love when people come to us for parenting advice.
I know.
We're such good parents.
Well, I'm no better than this.
Oh, my God. First of all, I mean, I was that teenager, and I apologize to everyone I've hurt. Andrew and I were just talking about what clubs we were in high school. The only club I was in was the Asian Pacific Islanders Club. But you I didn't what? Get to I, be Asian for a day.
While we were talking in the hallway, I was joking how I wasn't in the Asian Pacific Islanders Club, but since I was literally the only Asian person in my high school, I was the Asian.
Oh, yeah, you were the club.
So, I still am.
Yeah, there you go. I just wanted to have lumpia every day for lunch. Mm-hmm. I was like, they got better food. Oh, God.
Well, if you keep it as a celebration of the culture, then I encourage that. It's maybe just the phrasing Asian for a day that's throwing us off. Because, like, growing up, we have, like, a certain, like, time of the year. If it's, like, the Indian New Year, and we have these festivals, like, around Diwali called Navratri, where you do these dances that I did growing up. And I would always invite my white friends, and we would dress them up in Indian clothes. And my mom, like, loved the way they looked in Indian clothes, which I was like, I don't know what's going on there. But
that happened to my friend recently. Right? He married an Asian woman. They've both been on the show, Gabe Delahaye, Lakshmi Sundaram. And the amount of props he got from her dad in, like, I forget which garment he was wearing, but literally it was like, you should move to India and be a model. And it's like, all right, man. Like,
yeah. It's like every time I'm at a wedding and there's like white people in Indian clothes, all the Indian people are like, they look fantastic. They look so good in the Indian clothes. They've got the body for it. I'm like, no, we have the bodies for it because they were made for us.
We made them. Yes, they're made for our bodies. Does that bum you out a little bit? Because it's like, is it some leftover of like just like idealizing whiteness? And
oh, yeah, probably. I mean, there's so much colorism still in India that I'm sure there is something about it. I mean, yeah, there's something about like the height. And I'm like, there's no short white people at Indian weddings ever. Yeah. Like, what's going on? Yeah, it is interesting. But like, yeah, whenever we would invite our friends, like they loved it. And my parents like loved introducing them to Indian food. And I felt like that was a way for them to learn about my culture. So I wasn't so like weird to them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But no, we weren't like putting them in brown face and
you weren't like, today you are Indian.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's if you're going to have the hard conversation that you 100% need to have with your daughter.
Yes.
It's okay to like something without being it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like an American thing or something. You see it a lot with white people. Mm-hmm. So there's maybe an element to that. But it's like that like entitled, like, if I like something, I can own it.
Yeah.
I can have ownership of it. And it's like, no, you can just like it.
Yeah. You just like it and have stuff. You can buy stuff. This is America. You can buy stuff.
Yeah. They'll let you buy shit.
Yeah. You can always buy a thing. But But yeah, Teacher Young, you don't get to be the thing because you bought it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And focus more on like educating her about it as opposed to letting her like completely take it over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that same psychology. This is a wild tangent. That like,
here we go.
Like all those like fucking like sexist dudes who love Star Wars so much that mm-hmm. they're mad that it's like, it's because they feel like because they paid a little bit of money for something, they own it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that it can never deviate from their vision.
Or because they've done the work to learn so much about it. This is often what I think happens with a lot of nerd fandoms because it is a niche, esoteric group of people that have really done the work to learn the universe and obsess over the details so that they have become self-made experts on the shit.
Yeah.
They now think that means they own it because no one knows it better, and that means there can't be like women having authoritative right. roles in
yeah.
it.
And they,
it always comes down to that for some reason.
Yeah.
I feel like people do the same thing with sports, and it's always bothered me. Talking in first person about sports, like we almost had it. We yeah. didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. You are not on the field.
Yeah.
You are not getting paid millions of dollars to, you know, sacrifice your life for sport.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So yeah. like it's the same kind of concept of like, no, you're not part of that.
Just because yeah. you like it you're an so observer. Hard.
Yeah.
Liking it so hard does not mean you are it. Puno, I wanted to ask you about Special. I should have done this up in the top.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were chatting about it before, but I think it's so good. It's
Thank
so
you.
Funny. It's so, it's just these little bite-sized episodes too.
Yeah, it's like a quarter-hour series, which I think is something a little new Netflix is trying.
It's very hip. It's very hip, new
very
format.
Consumable.
Yes, I noticed there's a main A story and the B story just stretches the arc of the series.
Yeah.
God, kill me. Just someone fucking end it now.
Oh, boy.
But it's very good. The writer and creator is Ryan
O'Connell.
He is so funny. You yeah. play his best friend.
Yes, he's incredible. It's, I mean, just a little background. It's based on a book he wrote about his life. And Jim Parsons read the book, loved it. So him and his partner, that's wonderful, optioned the book and they developed it however you develop a show. I still don't understand
TV. It's pretty vague, to be
yeah.
honest.
Yeah. There's some magic wand waving.
There's a lot of suggestions from a lot of different types of white dudes.
Yeah, uh-huh. I know it just takes a long time. And
the key, try to accept as few of those suggestions as possible. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Without getting fired.
But yeah, Ryan, it's his life as a gay disabled person. He has cerebral palsy, and it's about this time in his life where he had cerebral palsy, and then also he got hit by a car, which it's like, because he had that accident, a lot of people assumed his limp was from that, and he kind of just went with it because he was kind of in the closet about his disability. And though it's specific to his story, it's like very relatable to anyone in their 20s who's like trying to figure out who the hell they are. And my character is his coworker at this like millennial type website.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
I love how it's very vague, but yet extremely yeah. specific.
It's yes. the new architect's office yeah. in media.
Yeah, I'm writing like a list about bread or something.
Yeah. 10 best bread.
Yeah. There actually is a scene where it's like a very serious scene where I'm like upset with him and it like pans over to me working and on my computer is just like a giant picture of like a celebration of bread. And I was like, and what the fuck was she working on? But yeah, I'm like this very body positive, confident woman that befriends him and kind of like helps him navigate through coming out as just himself.
Yeah, yeah, your character's so like uplifting and like just positive without it being like preachy or like it
yeah.
doesn't feel like someone's Twitter feed written into a script like some shows can.
No,
you know,
for real.
It just feels like she's just comfortable with herself. And
it was realistic, like a realistic confidence, because no one just like feels awesome all the time.
Yeah.
And you see cracks in her too. And you see also as like a woman of color, how she's had to like work over time just to like even be considered amongst her peers.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it touches on that. And hopefully if we get a season two, we'll dive deeper into that. But
we got to get more Kim.
Yeah. Kim. Classic Kim.
Classic Kim. You are such a Kim. You know, when I first met Poonam Patel, I said, that girl's a Kim if I've ever seen one.
Mm-hmm. I just said it for no reason.
Yeah, you did. You,
yeah,
you
I
saw
say
it.
It all the time.
Look at that Kim over there.
Yeah.
Kimming it around. What a weird thing to say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, what else? Have we helped the people?
I think we kind of did.
Do you feel helped?
This was a little more shit talky than usual, I feel like.
Oh,
is that correct?
Do I owe apologies? I'm sorry.
Nah.
You're all valid. Thank you for entrusting us with parenting advice.
Tell people where they can see, hear, read more of you besides the places we just talked about.
Yeah, so on Netflix special. It's not an actual special. The show's title is special.
Right, it's not your Netflix special.
Right, it's I'm not a stand-up. Thank the Lord. I would be so bad at stand-up. Anyways.
I think you'd be great.
I did it in college, but it was all based on my virginity. And now that I'm a hoe, it's like I have no material left.
Interesting pivot, actually.
So I guess, on Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Big Poonam, BigPunam. Mm-hmm. I get tagged by a lot of like radio stations thinking I'm Big Pun.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's got autofill at
like
a certain point.
Like Big Pun AM or I don't know.
Yeah. Big Pun in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, Big Pun
my
in the morning.
My favorite time for Big Pun.
I know. Hasn't he passed away?
Ooh.
Yeah, Big Pun. Fat Joe's still around, but Big Pun passed.
Big Pun has passed.
That was me blanking on which one had passed.
Zig chimed in, let us know. RIP to Big Pun.
Yeah.
Well, hope Fat Joe's doing all right. I get tagged in his mistaken text. <not. laughs>
Oh, okay, that's how we're going out. Peace.
Bye. Okay, here we are. We're back.
Just locked eyes, and I just had a moment of like, how do we come back from this shit?
We never know. We both just inhaled sharply. It was great.
Oh my God.
Thank you all for listening.
My heart's pounding.
We got to tell you about these live shows. You know we got them coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We got to tell you again. We got to tell you that Yo, Is This Racist Live is going to be coming to Philadelphia on 7/18. It's going to be at the World Cafe. You can get your tickets. Well, I'll tell you that part at the end. Then you can, this is going great. Then you can catch Yo, Is This Racist Live in, Minneapolis is next.
Minneapolis.
We do a zigzag.
Oh my God.
Minneapolis on 7/23 at Tattersall Distillery. Tickets are on sale. And then on 7/24, that's right, we go back to the East Coast because we crazy and I love frequent flyer miles. Boston, we're going to be at City Space. That's on 7/24. Please check it out.
Get tickets.
You are in the Brooklyn area. I'll also be doing Spontorco with Paula Tompkins, Eugene Cordero, and Janet Varney on 7/21. And then if you're in Calgary and you like weird folk music, you can come see my band at the Calgary Folk Music Fest, 7/27 and 28.
ToddyDusev.com/tours.
All those things. We also have shows coming up in September. Portland, Seattle, San Francisco. Not in that order. Not in that order.
Oh my God, it's so late.
It is. It feels like 1 a.m.
Holy shit. Oh,
Andrew,
God.
Andrew, what else do we got to say? Zig, what else do we got to say? What have we neglected here?
Merch. I think that's the last big thing.
Oh, yeah.
Podswag.com/yo.
You got to check out the merch.
Call in 323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE.
Yes. Wait, Zig, will we have those t-shirts by the live shows, do you think?
I will know by the beginning of next week.
Ooh. Might have new shirts.
Might have new shirts, guys. It's going to be great. Bear with us.
Woo! God, we are struggling.
Should I end with bear with us?
Bear with us.
Bye.
Bye.